Jesus by night, to ask him the way of salvation and light. The Master made answer in words true and plain, he must be born again. He must be born again. He must be born again. I verily, verily say unto thee, he must be born again.
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned in to the broadcasting in this time. We're picking up our study here in Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17 and verse number 1. We're going to back up here a little bit and catch the whole thought. Jesus, in the previous passage, previous chapter, had declared that there were some there amongst his apostles that would not see death until they saw the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. They were going to see the glory of the Lord. They're going to see the power of the Lord manifested in somehow, some way. It's vague to them. They hear the Lord say it. They don't understand what it means. Peter has asked this or told the Lord this and rebuked him when the Lord Jesus said that he was going to suffer things in Jerusalem of the leadership. He's going to be killed. He's going to raise again the third day. Peter denies that. He says it's not going to be. Jesus rebukes him and says that that attitude and that thinking is the way of Satan. That's the company that you're keeping with that kind of thinking. You're savoring the things that be of men, not savoring the things that be of God. And so what the Lord is going to do, what we know because we have the passage here with us, and we're going to see this, what the Lord is going to do is he's going to show him the work of God. He's going to show him the power of God. He's going to, there's the Old Testament scriptures are there, and this of the gospel is being, it's being fulfilled right with them. They don't have the advantage that you and I have of having the New Testament scriptures. And so the Lord's going to show them something. And so it says here, and after 6 days, after the Lord had said those things and had rebuked Peter so and all that, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. And I'd made mention, Peter's the one that spoke, but it could very well have been that the other apostles or some of the other apostles were there agreeing with him. But Peter having spoken, he's the one that got the direct rebuke. And so these three are chosen. These three are chosen by the Lord to go up into this high mountain all by themselves, the Lord and the three. And he, the Lord Jesus, was transfigured before them, verse 2, and his face did shine as the sun. And you know how the sun is looking and trying to look into the sun. I mean, if you try to do that, you're going to damage your eyes looking into the sun. And certainly don't recommend anybody do that at all. Do not look into the sun. We know how bright that is, and that's the way the Lord Jesus' face shone. And his raiment was white as the light. His raiment was shining just as gloriously also. I mean, it was glorious in its appearance and bright, bright, bright. The glory of the Lord is able to, he rather than keeping it quelled down and shut down, he releases it. He allows it to shine in his grandeur. He's gone, according to the scriptures, he's gone for 30 years without experiencing this and without allowing his glory to shine in this way from the accounts in the scriptures. And so here his glory, his own true physical glory shines forth. His face shines as it does. His raiment, his clothes shine as it does. And then we see this, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. You know, Moses and Elijah, they just don't come around every other day, do they? Moses, the first prophet of the Lord, called of God to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, to give the first 5 books of the Bible, to be that leader and teacher of the children of Israel, the first generation and the second generation, and their sojourn in the wilderness for 40 years. Moses, Peter, you don't savor the things that be of God. You savor the things that be of man. But Peter, James, John, I want you to see the work of God. Another one that is here is Brother Elijah, a powerful prophet in his day also, and one mighty, and that work was used of the Lord to work miracles too, and had to stand against the wickedness of the day and the nation and the divided kingdom, namely Israel, the northern tribes in his day. And he's there too. It tells us, it doesn't tell us here, but it tells us in other gospels about this account that listen to what the Bible says. Moses and Elijah speak to the Lord Jesus Christ about his death that he should accomplish at Jerusalem. It tells us that in the account of other gospels about this. You can read about that in Mark and Luke. And so here's the work of God, Peter, and we're not down on Peter, but this is what the statement that's being made to Peter, James, and John. This is the work of God. This is the work that Moses is interested in, and they highly esteem Moses. He was the prophet of the Lord, the great prophet of God in the beginning. And Elijah, certainly Elijah is esteemed, isn't he? Oh, he's esteemed. And the thing is Moses and Elijah show up, and there need not be any introduction. They know it's Moses and Elijah. And they hear the conversation that they're having with the Lord Jesus Christ about the Lord going to Jerusalem to die. Moses is talking about it with the Lord Jesus. Jesus is talking about it to Moses and Elijah. And Elijah is talking about it to Jesus. This is the work of God. This is what's important. Not what men want, but what the Lord has ordered and designed. Very interesting. Then answered Peter, verse number 4, and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here, and it is, to be in the glory of the Lord, to be in the middle of the discussion, the talk of the work of the Lord, to be there at the most important thing going on in the world at that time. It is good. It is blessed for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles or houses, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Lord, let's just stay here. And let's build a house for each one of you. We'll get busy and we'll do it. It tells us in other accounts in the Gospels about this account that Peter said that because he didn't know what to say. He felt like he should say something, but he didn't know what to say, and so he said that. And while he yet spake, verse number 5, Peter is declaring this about building three houses for the Lord and Moses and Elijah. The scripture says, behold, a white cloud overshadowed them. And so a thick white cloud overshadows them. It comes upon them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, and this is very important. If you're listening, if you're tuned into the broadcast today, listen to what the Father says. He says, behold a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. So here, after seeing the glory of the Lord Jesus, after seeing Moses and Elijah, after hearing the discussion that they have, and after the desire of men to build a tabernacle, remember Jesus told Peter and said, you don't savor the things that be of God, you savor the things that be of men. And once again here, Peter not knowing what to say, but still believed he should say something. He utters that, which makes sense to a man. The Father overshadows them with this cloud and says unto them, this is my beloved Son. This is him. He's the Christ that I've revealed unto you. Jesus has said that in the previous chapter. He said, flesh and blood hadn't revealed it to you, that you know that I'm the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior. And he says, in whom I'm well pleased. I'm pleased with everything that he says and he does. There's no deficit on the part of my Son and his accomplishment of what I have sent him to do. He says unto him, to them, hear ye him. When he speaks, don't doubt him. When he tells you something, don't doubt him. When he speaks, he speaks my word, that of God Almighty, that of the Father. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit are unified in one. Peter, James, John, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, verse 6, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. They got scared. They had heard the voice of God Almighty. And was God Almighty interested in Jesus not dying? No. Was God Almighty interested in three tabernacles being built on top of that mountain? No. But God Almighty was interested in instructing them and leading and teaching them the way that they should go, pointing them to his Son, and that they would understand going forward that whatever the Son says, that's what they need to hear. Whatever the Son says, that's what they need to hear. That's what's important. And Jesus came and touched them, verse 7, and said, arise and be not afraid. So many times the Lord does that, doesn't he? He says, get up. It is I. Be not afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid at seeing the power of God. It's all in control. It's not going to consume you. It's not going to overtake you. They hear the voice of the Father speaking and telling them the thing that is most important. My Son and what he says is the most important. That needs to be your laser focus, fellas, on what my Son says. He's mine. I'm pleased in him. And you need to hear him. And the Lord touched them and says, arise, don't be afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Moses was gone and Elijah was gone. The glory of the Lord had been reeled back in and squelched back down by him. And he's there. And for the child of God that is saved by him, he's always there. And we need to know that. We need to remember that. And we need to hear and believe and trust him and obey him in all that he says. If you're under the hearing of my voice in this broadcast and you're not saved, we point you to our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Savior that you need. And you need to receive him. You need to believe in him. Trust in him for the need that you have, the need of your forgiveness of your sins, and the need of everlasting life that you don't have without him. Repent of your sins. And believe and trust in him and his death, burial, and resurrection for the salvation of your soul. I see that our time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Rill Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7000. 3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.almstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Almsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.